From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. An Israeli soldier who was held captive in Gaza for 5 years has been released today as part of a swap under which Israel will free more than 1,000 Palestinian prisoners. The BBC's Richard Galpin says Sergeant Gilad Shalit is now back in Israel by way of Egypt.
Gilad Shalit actually walked across the Kerem Shalom border crossing, leaving Egypt and setting foot for the first time on Israeli soil for more than 5 years. So a huge moment for him. He then has gone on to a military base, a local military base here, where he has further medical examinations. They want to check out his health to see if he is fit enough now to fly on to a military base north of here, where his parents are waiting for him.
The BBC's Richard Galpin in Israel. NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Ramallah, and he says the first of the Palestinian prisoners are being released.
There are thousands of people here at the Palestinian Authority headquarters. Today is a day of happiness for families. It's a day of popularity for Hamas, and a day when everyone seems to be talking about resisting the occupation as opposed to negotiating. We're seeing prisoners, some of whom have been in jail for decades, carried on the shoulders of their cousins and nephews. Tearful mothers and sisters are embracing them, and then they're heading home to their villages where the celebrations will start in earnest.
NPR's Peter Kenyon in Ramallah. President Obama begins the second day of his bus tour to promote elements of his job creation plan. He's calling on lawmakers to pass the measures.
I want to work with Republicans in any way possible to create jobs right now.
President speaking in North Carolina, but GOP Senator John McCain says Mr. Obama's plan will not get the support of Republicans in the Senate.
What they have proposed is another stimulus. We tried that. We saw the movie before. It didn't work. It added to our debt and deficit, and we lost jobs.
Stock prices on foreign exchanges are losing ground today. And NPR's John Idsty reports rising earnings at some U.S. companies have not been enough to allay worries about the U.S. economy.
Citigroup's income rose 74% in the third quarter to $3.8 billion. It was the seventh straight quarter of income growth for the bank, which was one of the largest recipients of taxpayer support during the financial crisis. Despite the better-than-expected showing, Citigroup stock fell. The story was similar for Wells Fargo. That bank's net income rose $4 billion, but its stock fell too, as concerns about new banking regulations, the European debt crisis, and the weak economy weighed the market down. Earnings at IBM, a bellwether for the tech industry, met Wall Street expectations, but its stock fell 3% amid fears of slower spending on information technology.
This is NPR. A Tibetan nun has reportedly died after setting fire to herself to protest Chinese rule. NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Beijing. It would be the ninth such self-immolation inside Tibetan areas of China this year.
Exiled Tibetan groups say the nun, Tenzin Wangmo, set fire to herself in Aba, Sichuan. She reportedly walked along the street shouting slogans calling for religious freedom in Tibet and the return of the Dalai Lama. This town is fast becoming a center of resistance to Chinese rule. 8 of the 9 self-immolations were in Aba. Meanwhile, the Free Tibet group says 2 Tibetans were shot by security forces during a protest in Gaza in Sichuan. These reports could not be independently confirmed. Unrest in Tibetan areas of China appears to be escalating. Self-immolation is not a traditional Tibetan form of protest, and exile groups say this shows increasing levels of desperation among Buddhist clergy. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
British billionaire Richard Branson has dedicated a commercial spaceport in the desert of New Mexico from which his Virgin Galactic firm will fly tourists to the edge of outer space. Branson says he's hoping powered test flights of his spacecraft will be completed by the end of next year.
I'll be going up in the first flight with my children. And if it, you know, I just want to be sure it's, you know, be sure that I'm going to bring my kids home and that we've really tested the craft through and through before turning it over to the astronauts who bought tickets to go up.
Passengers will pay $200,000 for a suborbital flight that will last 2.5 hours, including about 5 minutes of weightlessness. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.